I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. The 34th Annual St. Louis Storytelling Festival returns May 1st through 4th with dozens of events in the metro area, including the closing storytelling concert at the Two Hill. I'm looking forward to hosting that again for the third year. Sue Hinkle has been a storyteller for over 30 years. She's assistant director of the festival. She's taught storytelling and has been with the festival almost from the beginning. Sue Hinkle, welcome to Cityscape.
Oh, thank you very much. And we're looking forward to having you at the Two Hill on Saturday night.
Oh, it's been so much fun.
Yes.
I can't even tell you. You know, you like to say that you paint pictures with your words.
Yes. Well, because I'm an artist, and so I've used that in my storytelling. And I do tell a lot of artist stories. I take my college students to the art museum, take them through the art museum, telling them stories about the works of art that are there. Mm-hmm. So it's painting a picture.
Right. This four-day event features some of the best storytellers from not just regionally, but from around the country. And we'll talk about more about that in just a bit. But storytelling really can be magic, right? I mean, it truly is an ancient art. So how do you see storytelling as part of the human experience?
Well, we all tell stories. If somebody asks you, what did you do today? How was your day? You're basically telling them a story. People tell jokes. And a lot of our stories are just, you know, stretched out jokes. Our whole life is a story. And we're losing a lot of our family stories because we youngsters, not me, are not getting those family stories and keeping them. And they're very, very precious.
Mm-hmm.
We should keep those.
You mentioned this will be my third year hosting, and I'd never seen a storyteller before. So this is something really new to me, and I guess I didn't see storytelling for what it really was. I didn't realize until after I started going to the festival that what you just said is true, that my grandparents used to tell me stories. I didn't really see that as storytelling at the time, but that's exactly what it was.
Yes, that's what it is. And it's it opens you up also to your heritage when you know those family stories. But also, we do a lot of researching on stories. If we find a story that we like, we start researching it and find out everything that we can about it. So it's work.
Well, every storyteller has their own, style, shtick,
yes.
Voice.
Yes.
So what's yours?
Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I love stories with twists. You know, I can take you on a journey down a path, and then all of a sudden I push you off the end. Into a chasm or something. Those are the stories I like. A little twist at the end.
Now, you're an art teacher by profession. I guess
yes.
You're retired.
Yes, I'm retired.
From full time. And you work with glass?
Yes. I fuse glass, and then I slump it into a form. I'm not a jewelry maker. I make 16-inch plates. And I'll put anything between those sheets of glass that won't melt at 2,000 degrees.
Like what?
Oh, I put copper in there, aluminum. I've used some brass. I have even used some of those quartz crystals and put them in there. And they don't break, I found out. So I just experiment with whatever I can.
And you have stories about glassmaking, do you?
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes, I do.
I always thought that was, you know, I've been to third-degree glass factory.
Yes.
I always thought that's kind of dangerous.
It is dangerous, but it's a lot of fun. And the tools that are used are different than any other tools you use in any other art medium.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very strange. One of them is a newspaper that you fold in a certain way and you keep it wet and you soak it for days and then you put your hand in and you use it to form the glass. It's wonderful.
Wow. You mentioned telling stories to students when you would take them to the art museum. And I know you think storytelling can be very effective as a tool in the classroom. What exactly do you mean?
Okay. When I was teaching, I had, as an art teacher, you know, I had one class coming in as one was going out, and perhaps a teacher was late in picking up her class, and so I would tell a little short story, never writing down what I had told them. And so November, Thanksgiving, that time I tell stories. I'll tell stories, whatever is appropriate for that time. And this was a year later. And a boy, as I was going into the principal's office, said, are you going to tell us that story you told us last year? And I'm going, I wonder what story that was. And I said to him, well, what did I tell you? He stood there and told me the story verbatim, everything. And I said, oh, you know that story. I'll find another one. And he went on. And the principal was standing there and said, you know he isn't a good student. And I said, well, what is a good student? But he remembered that story a year later. Our students learn in different ways, and we need to be open to those different ways of learning.
Right. Would you share one with us?
Yes, I would. This is one of my favorite stories, and it's an old, old folktale. I have not found it in written down. It was passed down by word of mouth, and it's, I call it the little birdie story. Once upon a time, there was a little birdie. It was new to the world, and the birdie flew all over looking at things, but didn't pay attention when the cold wind began to blow. He suddenly noticed when white, cold stuff began to fall that he was cold. He was so cold, he couldn't fly. And so he thought if he swooped down to Mother Earth would give him warmth. But that didn't happen. In fact, he got colder and colder. He got so cold, he could not move when a great big Clydesdale horse came walking toward him. Now, as luck would have it, none of the hooves touched the little birdie. But the horse stopped with his rear end right over the little birdie, lifted up his tail, and deposited a great big smelly pile of manure on that little birdie. And the little birdie thought, I'm going to die, and I've got this smelly brown stuff. Oh, it's warm. I'm not going to die after all. It's warm. I'll get warm, and then I can fly south. He was so happy, and he continued to get warm that he opened up his beak and he began to sing. Not too far away was a cat. The cat heard the singing, followed the sound to this brown, smelly pile, knew there was a bird inside, whipped off the top, reached in, got the little birdie, ate him beak, feet, manure, and all. The moral to the story is, not everybody that dumps on you is your enemy. Not everybody that pulls you out of a brown, smelly pile is your friend. But when you're in over your head, keep your mouth closed. Nobody will know you're there.
That's storyteller Sue Henkel. She's part of the St. Louis Storytelling Festival next Wednesday through Saturday, which is happening all over. And so I guess, do all stories have to have a moral like that?
No, and in fact, you normally do not tell the moral to a story. The story should itself tell the moral, but this one is an exception.
Anybody ever say that story stinks?
Stop. Yes.
Just kidding. You've heard that before.
Yes, yes.
Hey, listen, there's a lot going on. We mentioned the event I'm involved with, which is the final day Saturday, but from Wednesday up to that, there, I don't know how many, dozens of events, dozens of locations, in St. Louis County and St. Charles County too, I guess.
Yes, way over 100 sessions that we have. We are here at the Arch, the old courthouse, Missouri Botanical Gardens, Missouri History Museum. We go out into this city and county libraries. We're also going into some of the schools. We go over to Cahokia. We go out to St. Charles. And we've got sessions out there at Blanchette Park and at the libraries out there.
Right. And we should point out that University of Missouri, St. Louis, has been involved, I think, from the beginning, right?
From the very, very beginning. They are like our parent that has nurtured us all of these years, along with the Missouri Arts Council and the Regional Arts Council.
Mm-hmm. So we have dozens and dozens of what we call regional storytellers.
Yes.
But then every year you bring in, I don't know, I guess about six, what you call featured storytellers. And
they are national storytellers.
Right.
We call them national storytellers. And we always have a deaf storyteller. And this year we have C.J. Jones. And he will be working in the deaf community. Melbury Birch is a kind of our local featured storyteller, which we do every year. We always feature one of our own. And she is actually from Columbia, Missouri, and she has been all over the world. We're lucky to have her so close to us. Megan Hicks is a wonderful storyteller and uses origami.
In storytelling?
In storytelling, yes. And Kayla Jojo is also, he's an African American, and he has instruments that he uses. So I think he's going to be doing the drums a lot, and he weaves that in with his stories. Then we have Michael Parent, who is just a wonderful, wonderful national teller. He comes from the from New England. And then we have Gene Tagabon, and he is our Native American storyteller.
And all these people will be featured in the Saturday night storytelling concert at the Two Hill. That's 7:30 at the Two Hill. Now, you do need tickets for that.
Yes.
But all these other events, most of them are free, actually.
Yes, they are. Right. We are trying to keep it as free as we can. Well, you know, money is tight.
Right.
And schools do not have the money to hire buses to bring the students down, so we're trying to get out into the schools.
There are also workshops, a lot of workshops.
Yes.
And in fact,
yes.
You're going to be part of a couple of people teaching a course at UPSL coming up on storytelling.
And that's in the summer. It's a summer class, and it is a 7-day class, and it starts at 9 o'clock in the morning and goes until 3:30. It's a 3-hour credit course. The first 2 days, Lynn Rubright, who is our founder and wonderful, wonderful storyteller, Lynn Rubright will take the first 2 days. And then Annette Harrison comes in, and she works with movement. She's a beautiful storyteller, and she uses gestures and movement. And then we have Ken Wolf, who'll be coming in and talking about how important storytellers are, stories and storytellers. Then I come in for the last 2 days, and I incorporate storytelling and art.
Uh-huh. What makes a good storyteller, do you think? And can anyone learn to do it?
Anyone can learn
to
do it.
You know, I've just gone, like I said, gone the last 3 years, and I'm so inspired on the Saturday nights when I go. Every time I go, I think, I want to do that.
It's fun. There's not a wrong or a right way to tell a story. It's your way. You just have to be careful that you read your audience and that your story is appropriate for your audience. That's one of the main things. But it's, you learn a story and you tell it. The
have
more you tell it.
Have you ever told a story where it didn't go over?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this was at the Arch, and I was telling a jack tale. And I start out with one jack tale, and all of a sudden, I am in another jack tale.
Jack tale?
Jack tales are stories about Jack. Jack and the Beanstalk, the house that Jack built, Jack and Jill. They were stories that came over from England.
Oh.
And a man was called Jack. And so the stories were brought over from England, and people here in the United States told the same stories, but they changed the setting a little bit.
So are you saying that you mixed two stories up?
I did. And I had a friend in the back who knew what I had done and was laughing. But I just kept weaving until I wove them together, and it turned out just fine.
Well, how about one more before you go?
Oh, okay. This another one is, it's a gift to you. It's kind of like a little joke. She was laying there on the bed in the motel room, gun in her hand. She pointed the gun at the bathroom door as he opened it. "Is this the gun you're going to use to kill your wife?" she said. He said, "Oh, no, I'm going to hire someone to do that." "Why don't you hire me?" "Who would be foolish enough to hire a woman for a hit job?" "Your wife," she said, as she pulled the trigger.
It's the 34th Annual St. Louis Storytelling Festival, May 1st through 4th. That's next Wednesday through Saturday, various times and various locations in St. Louis and St. Charles counties. Then it all sort of ends on Saturday, a week from Saturday, at the Storytelling Concert at the Two Hill. Tickets are required for that one, 7:30 in the evening. I'll be hosting again for the third year. Really looking forward to doing that again and meeting the national storytellers. And so if you'd like any information on any of these events, plus the class, summer class this summer, if you go to our website, stlpublicradio.org, to the Cityscape page, we'll have a link. And is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion, Sue?
No, I'm glad you mentioned that, though, how to get to the information.
Right, because there really is a lot. So people should make
a
point to, you know, check this out.
Yes, to check it out.
Chances are there's something going on near you, and then it'd be fun to end up at the Saturday night event after that.
Yes.
Sue Henkel, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And time now for a look at the Cityscape calendar. Anani Arts presents a dance program highlighted by Leslie Murphy's Elements tonight and tomorrow night at 8 at 3003 Locust Street. A dance celebration in honor of National Dance Week featuring 50 St. Louis area dance companies takes place tomorrow from noon until 5 at Union Station on South Plaza Stage. The University of Missouri St. Louis and the Greater St. Louis Samara Sister Cities Committee present a program titled Russian Seasons in St. Louis, featuring musicians from the Russian city of Samara, who played host to a group of UMSL students last October, as well as UMSL's director of keyboard studies, Alla Vaskoboynikova, and several of her students. The concert takes place Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock, in the Two Hill Performing Arts Center's Lee Theater. And you can find out more about these and other events on the events section of stlpublicradio.org. Next week on Cityscape, we'll meet the curator of an exhibition at the Regional Arts Commission where fashion and art collide. Archived versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Aaron Dorr. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter, and please join us again next week.